Pull out your Bible. If you have your Bible this morning, let us make our declaration this morning. Amen. Now, this is not just an exercise that we do. There is purpose why we do this. Amen. And you know, praise God for our intercessors and our praise and worship for setting the tone and the atmosphere by which the Holy Spirit can move and the Word of God can come forth. Amen. When we declare and we decree the Word of God, we are releasing by faith the Word of God. Amen. That the Word of God will not come back void or empty. And we are boldly proclaiming God's Word. Despite of what's going on, what we're going through, amen, we're saying, God, your Word takes preeminence in my life this moment, right now. And there's nothing that can persuade me or distract me from what you have to say right now. So we imposing that all spirit of darkness and whatever the enemy has will cease from its assignment. Amen. Because the Word of God will judge it as is. So repeat after me. This is my Bible. God's written Word. I am what the Word says that I am. I can do what the Word says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm here to receive the supernatural, powerful living seed of the Word of God. I'm about to be transformed. Change is taking place. My mind is about to be renewed, influenced, inspired into the mind of Christ. Therefore, I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen and amen. Turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to look at chapter 1. We'll read from verse 8. But before we jump into the word, Brother Andrew, come here, please. You know, every time God does something wonderful for our family members, you know, we need to share the good news, right? Amen. We need to let everybody know this is what God's doing in particular life. But look at this man. He's lost 90 pounds. You lost half of yourself. Amen. We just want to say, wow, you look amazing. Thank you for your diligence. And we just want to declare that, you know, how proud we are of you, of your accomplishment. I know it's something that you have set goals for, and you have achieved that goal with the help of the Lord. Amen. So we just praise God. Amen. Thank you, brother. How many of you know if God has done something for one, he can do it for us? Amen. Praise the Lord. That is amazing. So let's pray. Father God, we honor you, sir. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We acknowledge your anointing in this place. And I ask in your mighty name, the mighty name, your mighty name, Jesus, that you would manifest your presence, your power, and touch, refuel, and fill every hungry heart that is willing to receive this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And if I was to entitle this morning's message, I would entitle it real simple, The Anointing. Everybody say, The Anointing. The Anointing. The Anointing. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you will receive power. He's saying, you. Yeah, you, me. Will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And what is this power for? So you will be my, everybody say my. My witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. The anointing. Jesus said that when this gospel has been preached throughout the whole world, guess what's going to happen? Then the end will come. Amen. Or the end of this particular age will come. Therefore, in order for that to occur, right, for the end to come or this age to end, it will take the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life to fulfill it. That's why Jesus says, wait for the promise of the Father. Because he knew in your strength, you would not be able to do it. Amen. In your mere mortal human frailty, you will not be able to accomplish the commission that God has given to you unless you acknowledge and realize and understand the power that God has given you as a believer to fulfill it. Amen. God never gives you a mandate or a commission to do half-heartedly or to not finish it. Amen. But if he has given you something in order to you to fulfill it, then we have no excuse. But if you say that, God, you didn't give me what I needed in order to fulfill it, then, hey, it's on God, right? But he said, I have given you power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Not the church, me. You're going to witness about me, what I did in your life, how I saved you, how I healed you, and how I delivered you, and I raised you out of the mire clay when nobody knew about you, when you were all by yourself. Amen. You didn't even believe in me, but you called on my name and I was there. Nobody else was there. I was there. And now that I've made myself known to you, I've given you new life, right? Now you're going to be my witness to testify of how good I am to you. Amen. Everybody say the anointing. The anointing. Have you ever heard someone make this comment? Wow, the anointing was strong today. Or the message of the worship service was anointed. It was powerful. I've heard it said more than once, and you probably have as well. When a guest visits here, they'll say, man, I sense the presence of God. I just feel the love of Jesus in this place. I feel the anointing in this place, which is a blessing to hear. Amen? But what are they saying? What do they mean by that? The anointing. You know, as believers, there's nothing more valuable than the Word of God. You know, last week we talked about valuing the Word, right? And I was going home, and the Lord gave me this illustration. A lot of us have cell phones. There's not one of you does not have a cell phone. In fact, when I watch the kids come home from school, pull my kai, I see 8-year-olds walking with, you know, iPhones. I'm looking, I go, man, my first phone was just one of those button ones, you know, that didn't have all that stuff. But everyone has a cell phone, right? And every one of us here has a Bible. Now, when you lose your cell phone, amen. Do you feel like you lost everything? My contacts, my emails, and everything? Or do you think like, you know what? Doesn't matter. Now, when you lose your Bible, you misplace your Bible, do you feel like, wow, where is my Bible? Did I lose my Bible? Where is my Bible? Do you feel the same degree as if you have lost your cell phone? If you don't, then something's wrong. Some of us cannot live without our cell phone. More or less, we need to live and value the Word of God more than our cell phones. Because your Bible has the only one contact that you need. All the contacts that you have in your cell phone, what is that saying? You know, if you and I meet and we forget each other, you know, it's really not too bad. But if you meet Jesus and you forget about him, then you've lost everything. You've lost everything. So value the word. So as believers, we value the word and we value God's presence in our lives. Because God's word reveals and identifies who we are. God's presence is what defines and validates us from all others. Let me repeat that again. The word of God reveals and identifies who we are. God's presence defines and validates us from all others. His presence defines and validates us from all others. Amen. In Exodus chapter 33, just listen. Moses says to God, God is leading them, right, in the wilderness. And God says, you know what, Moses, I'm going to send my angel before you. I'm not going to go, but I'm sending my angel, my number one angel. And Moses makes this statement. He says, God, if your presence does not go with us, don't make us leave this place. What Moses was saying is, God, if you're not going, I'm not going either. Because your presence defines and validates who we are. Amen. You know, in prayer this morning, I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to say that impartations are going to be released and imparted this morning. I said impartations are going to be released and imparted this morning. Therefore, align your heart to my will and set your mind on the things above, on heaven, and receive by faith. Amen. The Apostle Paul said to the church of Rome, I long to see you, that I may impart, I may give, I may bestow, I may reveal, amen, to you some spiritual gift that will strengthen you. Amen. So the Lord is saying, I want to impart, give, bestow, reveal a gift that will strengthen you. Some of you need to be strengthened this morning. Why? Because some of you are asking the Lord to anoint you for your ministry or asking for a greater anointing and power on your life. Everybody say impartation. I believe God wants to impart and raise the level of your anointing in your life, because there's different levels. There's different flows of anointing. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody listen. You see, anything you can grow to that, there are levels. But we're going to have to be hungry. We're going to have to be thirsty. We're going to have to pursue. We're going to have to press. We're going to have to crucify the flesh to go higher, to go deeper, to go further in order to go to the high places. Amen.
Amen.
Now is not the time to draw back. Now is not the time to zone out. Now is not the time to get comfortable. Now is not the time to put your guards down. Amen. But it's time to elevate and to move to your next level in God.
Amen.
Everybody say, I'm moving to my next level in God. And that's a word from the Lord. It's time to move to the next level. It's time to move from the ankle deep. If you're in the ankle deep, you need to go to the knee deep. If you're in the knee deep, you need to go to the waist deep. If you're at the waist deep, you need to be swimming. You need to become uncomfortable in being comfortable in your walk with God. Amen. It's time to elevate and move to the next level. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says we grow from grace to grace. Amen. We grow from grace to grace. We grow from saving grace to serving grace, right? To sustaining grace. Grace that saves us, yeah, for by faith. For by grace you have been saved By faith, not of your works, means any man should boast, right? So we're growing from grace to grace, from saving grace to serving grace. God has given you a grace gift to serve in the body of Christ, to bless the body of Christ, serving gift. And God has given us sustaining gift, grace. Sustaining gift. Everybody say sustaining grace. Man, that's a tongue twister. Because Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, be strong in the grace of God. That grace of God was to sustain Timothy. Amen. In God's ability. Right? God's ability and strength, his willingness to use his power and strength on his behalf. That's what the grace of God is. Repeat after me, Lord, I need your grace to run my race. Amen. The Bible says we move from faith to faith. We're talking about different levels. Different levels of grace and different levels of faith. We move from faith to faith. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. First to the Jews and to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Amen. From saving faith to faith, to where we walk by faith and live by faith. There's a different level. We don't stay in saving faith, but we go to the next level of living and walking by faith. The Bible says the just shall what? Live by faith. We who have been justified by the blood of Jesus, that word justified means just as if you've never sinned. Amen. So all of us can testify, I am the just of the Lord, right? Everybody say, there's different levels. The Bible says we change from glory to glory. We change from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. There's different levels. Amen. We are to be ever increasing in the glory of God. Increasing in the glory of God's manifested presence. Amen. Increasing in the glory of God is to continually to be changed into what you were created to be. Conformed. To be similar. To his likeness. That's what you were conformed to be. To be like him. Amen. And what I mean, his likeness is his character and his nature. See, the world wants to conform you. To be like them. To behave like them. To talk like them. By their ideology, right? By their customs, their behavior, their language, their attitudes, their behaviors. But God wants to conform you into his likeness, imparting in you his character and his nature. In you. So again, we grow from that there are levels of increase. Therefore, if I can grow in the anointing, if I can grow in ministry, if I can grow in leadership, if I can grow what God has called me to, if I can grow my business, grow spiritually, grow in love, so I don't become stagnant, remaining spiritually in the same status quo, because there are degrees and levels to grow into. Amen. Anybody listening to this morning? Now, that was just my intro. A long intro. So this morning, we're going to talk about the anointing. What it is and the benefits of the anointing in the life of the believer. I want to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8 again, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. I call it the Women's Bible. Everything is amplified. It's just a joke. It's just a joke, ladies. It's just a joke. And he says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends or the very bounds of the earth. He's talking about the nations. Can you imagine the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? That you are able to be a witness and to influence your county, your city, your county, your state, and your nation. That's what he just said. Jerusalem was the county. Judea was the city. Samaria was the state. And now he goes nationwide. Isn't that powerful? When you understand the anointing upon your life, it kind of makes you like, oh yeah, yeah. Go ahead, devil. Make my day. Go ahead.
Right. Amen.
You know, how many of you know as Christians, the anointing is absolutely necessary, vital, important, a must, like a fish out of water in living the victorious Christian life. Amen. You know, if you look at that, if you look at the word Christian, it's found in the book of Acts. The Christians didn't give themselves the name Christian. It was the unbelievers. It was the Gentiles. It was the heathens who looked at the Christians and said, man, these guys look just like Jesus. They talk like Jesus. They act like Jesus. And they perform miracles like Jesus. So since they look like Christ, we're going to call them Christians. Christ-likeness. In fact, if you look up the word, the Greek word, Christians, is where you get the word Christianos. The word Christ is the anointed one, which is Jesus. But you as a Christian, you are a Christianos. Everybody say, I'm a Christianos. And you say, well, Pastor, what in the world is that? Well, we have the word Christ. You are the little anointed ones. That's what that word means. Little anointed ones. He is the anointed one, and you are the little anointed one. Say, I'm anointed. You are anointed. So it was the Gentiles, it was the outsiders that looked at him and called them Christians. Amen. So it's important for you and I to understand that the anointing is so necessary for what God has for us to do, how to live, right? And yes, as believers, we are victorious in the victory that Christ has already won for us. Amen? Yeah? He has won that for us, right? Through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But the anointing equips, empowers, and enables you, all believers, to live out that victory. Amen. The anointing upon your life equips, empowers, and it enables you as a believer to live that victory out. It's not just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk of victory every single day and to live it out in your life. Amen. And that's what the anointing is there for you to do. It empowers you, it enables you, it equips you. That everything you look at, you can look at the situation, you know, and you can say, victory. Even though it looks like defeat, victory. Victory. That's victory. Because you're looking at it from the perspective of who God is and who you are and what God has given you and what he has already won for you. Amen. It's not if. Jesus already did it all. He already won it. We are just perpetuating his victory on this earth as the church. As the church, we never back down. right? We always move forward, knowing the victory that Christ has already won for us. And the anointing allows us to move forward, trusting Him, believing in Him. Amen. As I said, the anointing is a must. It is needful. Therefore, it's important that we understand that we need God's anointing every single day in everything that we do. Say, everything that I do, I need the anointing. The anointing is not for us just to have here in our services. It's not just limited here in our services. Amen. And there's an anointing for everything that we need to do it well. Let me repeat that again. There's an anointing for everything we do and do it well. Not sloppy, but we do it well. We do it with the spirit of excellence, and the anointing empowers us to do it in an excellent way. Not half-heartedly, not all kapakai, but we do it accordingly. We do it well because we want to please Him. The anointing is not just for the fivefold ministry or limited just to the spiritual areas of our lives. Amen. You know, I watched you, Marie. I was skimming to the station and I saw, hey, Kapunas exercising. And I look, I go, hey, I know that lady. You know, you're anointed to do that. You're anointed to do that. Like I said, the anointing is not limited just to the spiritual aspect of your life. I remember years ago when we were building our house and the contractor left the backhoe in the back of our yard. And they left, but they left the keys. And I had to do something. I had to dig a big hole. And I looked around. They're gone. I looked, hey, the keys on top. Had no idea, no clue. Never, nobody taught me. Jumped on the backhoe, started it up, put it in gear, moved it. And I don't know how I did it, the anointing. Began to move the shovel, began to dig. And I'm running everything, going like, it's like I own it. I'm going, you know, digging this huge hole. And then all of a sudden, I see somebody to my left. And I go, oh, it's the boss. The guy who owns the backhoe. I look at him, ooh. And he looks at me and goes, hey, you operate backhoe before? I said, no. He goes, wow, you know. So the anointing is not only just for our spiritual life, but every area to do it good and to do it well. Amen. You have an anointing to be a parent, to be a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife. You're anointed to be a grandmother, and anointed to be in business. You're anointed to do counseling, to be a mentor to a young boy or a young girl. Amen. Say, I'm anointed. Whenever you're gifted to do, whatever you're gifted to do with your life, the anointing can take it to a higher level. The anointing can expand that gift that you have, that gift that you have committed to God. And God, you recognize that this gift has been given by God to me. And you ask God, anoint this gift to be used for your glory. And the anointing, God puts His anointing upon it. He's, amen. And He amplifies it. He expands that. And He takes it to a higher level. But here's the thing, it'll cost you. There's a price to pay. But if you pay the price, it'll be all worth it. It'll be all worth it. Amen. You know, needless to say, it's amazing to see God use someone, use somebody to do something you know that they don't have the ability to do it on their own. And to watch them, it's like, just like that guy watching me do the backhoe. I had no ability. And you have abilities that I watch You see, man, that's the anointing in your life. That's the anointing, the power of the anointing operating in your life. Now think about this. If Jesus himself needed the anointing upon his life in fulfilling the Father's will, don't you think we would need the anointing as well to fulfill the Father's will for our lives as well?
Yes.
Definitely. See, Jesus never fully stepped into his call. He never fully stepped into his ministry. And you will never step into your call, and you will never fully step into your ministry just as Jesus until he was anointed. Jesus never preached, he never healed, he never delivered, he never saved, he never raised anyone from the dead until he was anointed. Amen. Anointed with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Familiar scripture. And Jesus is declaring this about himself, a fulfillment of scripture from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Right? The whole story is, you know, he goes into the temple like he normally does. As a custom, he goes to church. Right? He sits. They give him the scroll. He reads. He opens it. And he finds Isaiah 60. And this is what he's quoting. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovered sight to the blind." Now, how many of you know that's physical and spiritual blindness? "To set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable and favorable year of the Lord." So Jesus boldly declares, not only being anointed, but that he was God's anointed. Because at the end of that scripture, he says, "Today that this scripture has been fulfilled, the very thing I declared to you, I am he." I am fulfilling that scripture. Amen. He not only declared that he was anointed, but he was God's anointed. Jesus the Messiah, which is the Hebrew word Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Jesus the Messiah. That's what it means. The Greek word is Mashiach, Messiah. So the anointing, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit equipped, enabled, and empowered Jesus, as we saw the scripture, to preach, to heal, to deliver, to recover, to liberate, and to proclaim the kingdom of God. Amen. In fulfilling Father's will. We know the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God, right? It is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit who equips you, who enables you, and empowers you. You shall receive what? Power. His ability, his might. Upon your life. That's the anointing upon your life. Luke 24, verse 49. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. You can just listen. Or mark it down. Luke 24, verse 49. And Jesus says, "And I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until the mighty power of heaven falls upon you and wraps himself around you." So here Jesus reminds his disciples. He says, "Hey guys, you make sure, stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave. Tarry there, wait until the Father's promise is fulfilled. And the Father's promise would be the coming in the person of the Holy Spirit, who would live in them and empower them to be witnesses for Him. Amen. There's an anointing for boldness. There's an anointing for grace. There's an anointing, the Deborah's anointing, the Esther's anointing. There's different levels and different kinds of anointing. Amen. And when we look at the word anoint, is the Hebrew word meshach. And that word means to smear or to spread a liquid or to rub with oil. Now, the origins of the anointing with oil was from the practice of the shepherds. Lice, or what we call in Hawaii, ukus, right? We're familiar with that word, ukus, right? And other insects would often get deep into the wool of the skin of the sheep. Or when they got near the sheep's head, what they would do is they would burrow deep within the sheep's ear, therefore killing the sheep. So the shepherds would remedy, would pour oil all over the sheep's head. This made the wool slippery, making it impossible for the lice and the ukus and the ticks to get near the ear of the sheep, because the insects would slide off. Amen. You know, back in the day, you know, we didn't have all these, flea collars and flea powders and, you know, all this stuff you can just go down to the pet store and buy for your animals, right? I mean, we had hunting dogs. We had about 15 of them. And when, the way we used to get rid of the ticks was, you know, my dad said, hey, sit there and go to the dog and find the ticks and pull them all out one by one. And the reason why we did that was because we knew we could go get the cigarette lighter fluid after we got them all in one pile. The reason why we were so excited in finding the ticks, that my dad would allow us to go get the cigarette lighter. You remember back in the day, the old cigarette lighters, you had to fill up fuel inside, right? When you had a cigarette lighter, it's like you stepped up because you no longer use matches. But then you would have to buy the fuel lighter to fill it up. So we would get the fuel lighter and pour them all over the ticks and watch them burn. Boom. And that made it all worth the while. It's gross, but it was worth the while. And if the dogs had fleas, my dad would say, load up the dogs in the truck. We're going down to the beach. And take all the dogs down to the beach and let them go in the water and swim. And get rid of all the fleas with the salt water. Amen. So we had our own ways of doing things. But that's how that word anointing came about, the origins of anointing. That when the wool was slippery, making it impossible for the lice to get near the sheep's ear because the insects would slide off. From this, the anointing became symbolic of blessings, protection, and empowerment. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the King James Version. It says how God anointed Jesus, smeared, rubbed oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. With power. For what? Who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Amen. God is with you now. This powerful verse, what I found was it tells us that Jesus was anointed, just as you have been anointed, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as a doer of good. The Bible says he went about and doing what? So he was a doer of doing good. That depression, affliction, sickness comes from the devil and not from God. And that the anointing is what destroys the oppression. Amen. If you are heavily burdened, anxiety, mental, emotional stress causing you unrest, the anointing will destroy that spirit of depression. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 10:27, right? It defines the anointing as the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. The anointing is what destroys and delivers God's people and sets them free. How many of you can say, the anointing has set me free?
Amen.
I had an addiction, but the anointing set me free. I had a habit, but the anointing set me free. Amen. I was depressed, but the anointing, thank God for the anointing, it set me free. I was battling panic attacks, but the anointing set me free from that. Amen. Amen. And I can testify to that. Praise the Lord. 20 years ago, panic attacks. Took 3 years, but the Lord delivered me from panic attacks. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, you don't know what panic attack is until you have it yourself. See, I don't know your struggles. You might be struggling with something that I have no clue of. But what I do know is if you are struggling with something, I do know that the anointing can destroy it off of your life as he has done for mine. Amen. Our struggles may be different, but the anointing is still the same. It's a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. No matter what it is. If you have an addiction, the anointing is available to break it off your life. The desire of that addiction, not just the addiction. How many of you know Christ died for our sins? But he not only died for our sins, he died for the iniquities, which is the nature to sin. See, if you go to the nature or to the root, then there will be no desire to sin. So he addressed the root of the problem. See, a lot of us, we just lawnmower the yard, right? We only cut the top. But the root is still growing. And then a couple of weeks later, the grass grow again, right? So if we deal with the root of the problem, it'll be done. Yeah, we cut off the life source. Kill the root. And you kill the desire. That's right, freedom. Who said that? Freedom. There's anointing to be free today. No matter what it is. Another definition for anoint is the Greek word chiro. You know, Hawaiians have this thing they do. Chiro! You felt the power, right? You know, that always scared you out of your britches. But the word chiro means to rub with oil, to anoint as to consecrate. That word consecrate means to separate or to make holy. Amen. To make holy for an office or a religious service. All through the Bible, you see that kings and high priests were anointed with oil or anything that was used in God's service, which included people. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. You can write it down. It says, now on the day that Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle, he anointed it and consecrated with all its furnishing and the altar, all its utensils or vessels. He anointed them and consecrated them as well. Everything in the tabernacle, in the holy place. Amen. The golden candlesticks, the menorah, the table of showbread, right? The golden incense in the holy place. All of these things were made out of gold, representing God's divinity. they were consecrated as holy and was only used to be used for the service of God. And then in the other room, the back room, where the Ark of the Covenant, right? The cherubims, where the presence of God. Not anyone could go in there. Only the high priest was allowed to go in that room. But they had to make sure that their life was clean and pure before they entered into the presence of God. But all of the utensils, all of the vessels were consecrated, anointed with oil, and set aside for God. Anybody learning something this morning?
Yes.
Another word for anoint means shemen. Everybody say shemen. And shemen speaks about fatness, about richness and fruitfulness. The anointing will make you fat and fruitful and rich. Amen. In the fact to the quality for the anointing being fat, the anointing will make you fat, rich, having a full supply, lacking in nothing, right? We're talking about being fruitful. The anointing will make you fruitful spiritually. It'll bring increase in your life. Being fat is a prerequisite for God, by God. Amen. God is looking for fat people. I'm here. I'm fat. In fact, God prefers fat people. Right, Marie?
Amen.
That's all. In fact, to qualify for the anointing, you gotta be fat. Fat is F, being faithful. A is available, and T is teachable. That's what the word fat means. I'm faithful, I'm available, and I'm teachable. I'm fat in God, man. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, fatty. I'm faithful, I'm available, and I'm teachable. But you understand what I'm saying? You know, when the anointing is upon your life, there's just a fatness, a richness in your life, a fruitfulness. You know, man, I just feel full today. You know, full of God. Amen. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. In fact, I'm so rich and full. Come here. You know, let me lay my hands on you and release some of this. In the name of Jesus. Grace, 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 grace. Yeah. Grace, 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 grace. Grace to run your race. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to make it. Marie, you're going to make it. We're all going to make it. Hallelujah. Remember earlier I said there's impartations that the Lord wanted to release. Amen. Hallelujah. See what she did? She recognized that there was an impartation. And faith made her step forward for it. Amen. To receive. Another definition, a Greek word, shaman. Everybody say shaman. Shaman, by analogy or causatively, is to make oily. Everybody say, I'm oily.
Oily.
Now, the anointing doesn't make us oily in being slippery so that we can slip out of situations, right? You ever heard of somebody, oh, that guy's slippery. You know, watch that guy. Watch that guy. He's slippery. You know, no. That's not what we mean. That's not what we mean. What we mean is when you're oily, right? Oil makes you shine. As oil is fuel that the lamp requires, right? To fuel the fire. So do our lives require the anointing to shine with the character and the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus says you are light to the world. Now you cannot be a light without the anointing, the fuel, the oil within your life. That's why when Jesus talked about the five wise brides and the five foolish, the five wise brought their lamps, but they brought extra oil. Talking about the anointing. But the foolish ones, they brought their lamps, but they didn't bring extra oil. Amen. So when the bridegroom came in the middle of the night, when they had no clue, the ones who brought oil started to light their wicks again and start up their lamps. But the ones who didn't bring oil says, hey, we ran out of oil. Can we borrow some of yours? No, go buy your own. See, you cannot draw from somebody else, take somebody else's anointing. You have to have your own for your own life. Oh, Lena, can I have some of your anointing? I'm going through a hard time right now. Lena would probably say, I need my own for myself. Ask God for your own. Go dig your own wells. Why don't you get the shovel out and dig your own well? I mean, we can share sometimes, but, you know, it's like if you're in a hard time and you're in a hard place, I got to keep whatever I get because I'm barely. Amen. But we're going to the next level. Amen. We're going to the next level. We're going to have to press. We're going to have to pursue. We're going to have to hunger. We're going to have to thirst. We're going to have to go higher. We're going to have to go deeper. We're going to have to go further, but it's going to take some effort, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So as oil is the fuel to that lamp it requires, so do our lives require the anointing to shine with the character and the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. The anointing upon your life is the light in and through your life. The anointing in your life lights up and shines in the darkness, whether you realize it or not. See, light is the absence of darkness. Amen. Wherever you are, on your job, the marketplace, wherever, the light, the anointing in your life expels darkness. That's why you remember that one lady that just chewed you out for no reason? That light that you had in you, the anointing, affected her. Yeah. It agitated that demon inside of her. Without you having a clue. You might think, oh, the lady, oh, yeah, she probably got off the wrong side of the bed. No. The light, the anointing in your life disturbed. It agitated that demon in her. Not realizing that you had the answer to set her free. That's why we need to be sensitive to the anointing. Remember that one when Paul and Silas were preaching and that one girl who had the spirit of divination kept following them, watching them. Those guys are men of God. I mean, she was just following them. And Paul was just getting irked. You know? He was just getting irritated by it. Every place they went, she'd be screaming at them. And finally, Paul says, you know, went up to her and says, come out! And that was done. That spirit of divination was gone. And all the owners got mad at Paul. Because now their ways of making income through that spirit of divination, they didn't have that anymore. So they beat them up and threw them in prison. But Paul recognized that the anointing on his life that there was a demon in that lady, and he got it out by the power of God. Right? Remember the story where the sons of Sceva, they went about and exorcising people with their rituals and traditions and doing whatever they do. And then they saw Paul cast out a demon in the name of Jesus. And they says, wow, maybe we can use that strategy that Paul uses. It'll work for us better than all the motion that we're going through and the methods that we're doing. You know, I mean, the hours and hours, hours and hours and days of trying to get that thing out of the person. Paul just said in the name of Jesus and it was gone just like that. Wow, it would save us time. Let's steal that from Paul and use it. So they found somebody who had a demon. And they said, in the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached, come out. And the demon just looked at them and go, what? Paul we know. Jesus we know. But who in the hell are you? Who in hell are you? We don't know you in hell. But we know Jesus, we know Paul, but we don't know you guys. And the Bible says the demon turned on them and they were bleeding and, I mean, just barely got away. The anointing makes the difference. The name of Jesus. Amen. The anointing is on the Word of God. The anointing is on the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word became what? This Word became flesh. The Word. This is the written Word. The Logos. Jesus is the Rhema, the living Word. The Word that became alive. Amen. The Word and the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word. The Holy Spirit puts the power in the Word. See, when you speak the Word, knowing that you are anointed, the Holy Spirit takes that Word, this Word that you have hidden in your heart, and backs it up with the power to perform it, to bring it to pass. Amen. If you just have the Word without the Spirit, it'll be just words from the Scripture. But when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit and you speak the Word of God, all heaven backs up that Word that you speak, because you are a representative. You are a voice of the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador, a representative of the kingdom of heaven. So when you are an ambassador and you represent heaven, you're not there on your own agenda.
Right.
You're on his agenda. You come there and represent him, not you. So if you represent him, then he's going to equip you and give you everything that you need in order to fully fulfill what he wants you to do as an ambassador. Wherever you go, whoever you meet. Jesus said, behold, or John the Baptist said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Or the kingdom of God has come here or nigh you. God's kingdom. The king has arrived. And therefore, he brought his kingdom here. The way that he does things. That's what the kingdom is. The way that God does things. This is the way that God did. There's protocol. Amen. There's procedures. So when the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is where? In you. So wherever you are, being that you represent the kingdom, because the King of Kings is living inside of you. And wherever you are, the kingdom of God is wherever you are. Amen. You represent the kingdom. You're an ambassador to the kingdom. So wherever you are, work wherever, you represent the kingdom. And everything that you need as an ambassador, representative of the kingdom, has been made available to you through the anointing The anointing equips you. It empowers you. It enables you to do. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Psalms 23, verse 5. You can just listen. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." You anoint my head with oil. The anointing always starts at the head. And it flows down to the rest of the body. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the head of our church. Jesus is the head of the church, right? He's the head. And notice where the head is, the body is right in line with the head, right? The head is not over there and the body over here, right? That would be scary. Right? If I saw a leg sitting there and I saw her head over there, I go, "Wow, what's going on here?" That'll be freaky. But the head is lined up with the body. So in the head, who is the anointed one, everything flows down to the body. So here's a clue. Stay in line. Stay where you belong. Stay in your place. And don't get out of place. See, the anointing flows down to the rest of the body. David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. Psalms 133, verse 1 to 2. Just listen. He says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down the edge of his garments." He says, you ever watch oil flow? It just flows like unity. I mean, it just flows. Real smooth. It just goes with the flow. And just as Aaron, the high priest, was anointed, the high priest had to be anointed to function in their office. Now, did you know that they use 1.68 gallons of oil when they anointed a priest or a king? That's almost 6 quarts of oil. So can you imagine? Just picture in your mind. Go get 1 gallon of oil and just pour on your head. Just to get the feel of all that. And just to get the picture of what's going on. But that's what happened to you when the Holy Spirit came upon you. He came to saturate you. Not to just take up a space inside of you. I'll just take this one corner of your life. No. He came in to take over our lives. He came to saturate our lives. From top of our head and to our soul and our body. 6 quarts of oil. Julia, how much oil take for fuel what 8-cylinder engine? 6 quarts? How much? 8-cylinder. 6 quarts. 6 quarts of oil to fill up an 8-cylinder vehicle. That's a lot of oil. So the oil is running on Aaron's head, flowing all down to his beard, down to his, he's just oozing with the anointing, the oil. Just covered. Covered and saturated. Saturate me in your anointing. Saturate me in your presence. I've got to have more of your anointing in my life. Saturate me, O Lord, today. Everybody say saturation.
Saturation.
So we receive our anointing by positioning ourselves in line with the head, submitting to his authority, to his leadership. Amen. We do that. And as a corporate body, we submit ourselves and we align ourselves with those who God has placed us under authority. We align ourselves under that leadership because the anointing flows from the top upon your pastor's life and it gets distributed amongst the congregation. The same anointing that is upon our lives will be the same anointing upon your life. Amen. Because everything starts from this protocol. From Jesus to us, from us to you. Amen. So as we submit ourselves to his rule, his authority, when we submit ourselves to his word, to his spirit, right? Because the anointing is in and on, right? The word of God. The anointing that comes upon you, see, the anointing is not for you, but it's for others, to be used for others in service to God. You see, the word and the spirit, they always agree. They always agree. The spirit and the word, they always agree. So how many of you know there's no faith without the preaching of the word? And there's no manifestation of the Holy Spirit of what has been preached without faith. Amen. Therefore, the anointing, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit is key to both our faith and the results of our faith. Amen. It takes the anointing upon your faith to believe the word. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you. There's more, but I just feel the Holy Spirit say, it's enough. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. How many of you received the word today? How many of you learned something today?